Today we're going to conclude our guardrail series. Has anybody enjoyed the guardrail series? Excellent. Well, we pray over these things and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your hearts. And because we can only say so much, but you know, the Holy Spirit can speak to each and every one of us individually and exactly what you need to hear. And that's our prayer, is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you what you need to hear, and help us that way, because He is our teacher, He is our guide, and so we have to depend on Him in those things. Our key verse is Proverbs 4:23. Guard your hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And so we're talking about building guardrails around our hearts. I've read that a lot in my life. You know, guard your heart. Like, okay, well, how do you do that? And that's kind of what we've been talking about in this series, is how do you guard your heart? And we talked about how, life revolves around relationships. What are the relationships that are important to us? And so we've talked about our relationship with God being number one. You know, it's so easy to say, you know, God's number one in my life. You know, but is he really? Is he truly number one in your life? And we talked about, how do we know if he's number one? How do we put him number one? We talked about our spouses, how our spouse needs to be number two. You know, look at your wife and say, hey, you're number two, baby. Only heard two people do it.
Yeah.
They're scared.
But chickens.
If everything is right, God is number one, your spouse is number two. Your spouse should be excited to be number two if God is number one in your life. And so we need to make our spouse number two. And how do we protect that relationship? What are some things that we need to be careful for in that? Then we talked about our family, our kids. And I think it's very important that we're building guardrails in our kids' lives, because, their minds haven't developed. They don't process things like we do. And so it is our job as parents to protect and to guide our kids in the right direction. And I've heard parents say, well, I'm just going to let my kids make their own decisions, and you know, whatever they believe, that's what I'm going to let them believe. There's a lot of junk out there.
That stinks.
Very much so. There's a lot of junk out there for your kids to believe. If we don't point them in the right direction, they will not go in the right direction. And so we've got to be very purposeful in the lives of our kids.
Would you let them learn math on their own? Would you let them learn? There's a lot of things we won't let them. We have to guide them.
Yes. And so we have all of those sermons on our website. If you've missed anything, believerscommunity.org. We have audio, video. We can get you a CD. We have an iPhone app that has it all on there. So we want to make all that available to you if you've missed anything in any of our series that we do here at Believers. The last area that we want to talk about in our guardrail series is our time. It's our time. See, time is the only commodity that we cannot get more of once we use it. There's only so many hours in a day. There's only so many days in the week. And so we have to be very careful in how that we spend our time, because there's only a limited amount of time that we have. See, I believe that God has certain timings in our lives. I believe in God's timing. I believe that He has certain things for us at certain times in our lives. And we have to be ready. We have to be prepared for these times to come. Otherwise, we'll miss them. How many of y'all have ever missed a moment with God besides me? You know, we look back and think, man, I missed that one. I wasn't ready. I didn't prepare my heart for that. I just wasn't ready. And so, it seems like lots of times we're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And then we look at some of these guys out there that, man, everything's going good for them. Everything's happening for them. And they're always at the right place at the right time. We're like, why? What is the deal? How come, you know, they always get everything? Well, maybe, just maybe, they've managed their time properly. Maybe they've built guardrails in their lives to where when the moment comes, they're prepared. See, if we manage our minutes, we won't miss our moments.
Say that again. That's a write down phrase right there. Write this down.
If we manage our minutes, we won't miss our moments. That'd be a good one for Twitter too, wouldn't
it? That'd be a good, somebody needs to tweet that or tweet that. Some twit needs to tweet that. Okay.
But there, I'm going to ignore that one.
What do you say?
I don't know, but I'm going to ignore it anyway. But there's lots of time wasters out there for us. And, you know, there's TV, movies. You can watch the news and get consumed with that. You can get on Facebook and just get lost for hours out there. There's lots of things, you know, you can just get on the internet and just waste a whole day, just search around and everything. There's lots of things out there that will waste your time. And these things in themselves are not bad. It's just the priority that we place on these things that are negative. See, if we place a higher priority on Facebook than we do God's Word, then there's a problem. And so we have to be protective of our time. So how important is our time? I got this from one of John Maxwell's books called Today Matters. And I just want to read this to you because I thought it was pretty good about the value of our time. To know the value of 1 year, ask the student who failed the final exam. That's very fitting right now because a lot of people are taking final exams. To know the value of 1 month, ask the mother of a premature baby. To know the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly news magazine. To know the value of 1 day, ask the wage earner who has 6 children. To know the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To know the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed their plane. To know the value of 1 second, ask the person who just survived an accident. To know the value of 1 millisecond, ask the Olympic silver medalist.
That's good.
And so our time is important. How we spend our time is important. Our key verse that we're using today is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. It says this, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And kind of the key phrase that we want to focus on here is making the most of every opportunity. How many opportunities have we missed or squandered in our lives? Blessings that God wants to bring into our lives and we just weren't ready. We weren't paying attention. I think it's the King James Version says it this way. It tells us to redeem the time. To redeem the time. And so today we're going to talk about guardrails that we need to build in our time. What are some guardrails that we need to build into our time management? We're going to talk about 3 different areas. In our learning, in our leisure, and in our labor.
All right. We have already discussed our relationship with God, our relationship with our spouse, and our relationship with our family. And we know that that has to be part of our time. You know, we can say God is number one. And I've often wondered if we would keep a time log. If you really want to see what's number one in your life, keep a time log for a week. And then go back and see what you spent your time doing. Those are the things that are important to you. See, one thing that is so important that we realize is that one thing that everybody has in common is that we have the same amount of time. There may be people who have more money than you, but we all have the same amount of time. And the kingdom of God, your life before God as a believer, is a stewardship. You don't own anything. You don't even own time. And one of the things that will stand before God someday, and I know this sounds heavy, but that is the stewardship of how we handle the things that He put in our lives. And one of those things is time. See, there's 2 things that if you don't manage, your life will spiral out of control. Number one is money. If you don't watch your money, the first thing you know, you're going to be in debt. You can't pay your bills. It don't matter how much you work. You can't get them paid, and your life spirals out of control. The second thing is time. If you don't manage your time, your life will spiral out of control. So, and it goes back to our bottom line today. If you will manage your minutes, you won't miss your moments. If you manage your minutes, you won't miss your moments. I want to talk to you a little bit about what I call the principle of the eights. 3 8s. What does that add up to? 8, 8, 8. What? You don't need your calculator for that one. 24. There's 24 hours in a day. Well, we seem to be dealing in sections of eight. And I know that different people, the scale will be a little bit different. Some of you work 12 hours a day. Some of you work 16 hours a day. That's too much. But we work 8, we sleep 8, and then there's 8 more hours that we really need to manage. We need to manage all of it. But I'm going to talk mainly about the 8, the last 8 where we're awake, when we're not at work, and when we're not asleep. There are 8 hours, and we have to fit so many things in those hours if we're going to be good stewards of God's grace. And that has to do time with Him, time with our spouse, time with our family, and other obligations. We have to set priorities. And I'm going to talk about the first one, which is learning. And I believe that this is very important. One thing that God gave us all that is a tremendous thing that He gave us is a brain. Your brain has tremendous capacity. I heard Dr. Caroline Leaf say that you have enough memory potential to last you 3 million years. God has given you enough brain. Don't ever say, I just don't have much of a mind. You have a tremendous mind. The problem is, we don't manage it. We don't manage it. And part of that stewardship, I believe, is what we do with that thing that God has given us, a tremendous. We're spirit, we have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and we live in a physical body. We have to manage all of those areas of our life to do that. But part of that has to do with our learning. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is the time that we spend with God in His Word. It's very, very important. And I would dare say, and I was in this group, back when I was in Bible school, one of our assignments was to read the Bible all the way through. And I did that. But I haven't done that since then until this last year. And one of the things that I have determined, if God is really first in my life, then I need to spend time in His Word. The Bible is not a legal book per se. The Bible is God's love book to us. It's a book about our relationship with Him. So therefore, we should spend time in His Word. And here is a challenge that I'm going to give the church so that we can be better stewards of this time that we spend in God's Word. Last year, I started in February of last year. I started a through the Bible, 1 year through the Bible reading plan. Currently, I'm on day 311. I've got about 46. Is that right? 46 more days? 45 more days. I got 45 more days. I'll finish on February the 1st. Reading the Bible all the way through in a year. I'm reading the chronological Bible. Well, we're challenging the church next year, beginning on January the 1st, not just part of you, all of you. Let's read the Bible through together. I'm challenging you. In Jesus' name, I'm challenging you. Let's read the Bible through to help you with that. Now, if you have a smartphone, how many of you got a smartphone? Now, if you got the iPhone, you got the smartest phone. Now, there are other smartphones, but they're not as smart as the iPhone. How many of you got smartphones? Let's see. How many of you got not so smartphones? Okay. Here, there's a wonderful tool, and there may be more that I don't know about, but there's a wonderful tool called YouVersion, Y-O-U version. It's put out by lifechurch.tv. It's a free Bible app. It has, how many translations? 30?
A bunch.
And it's got it's got Hebrew translations. It's got Swahili. It's got, I mean, it's got different languages. It's got Spanish. It's got, but it's got all kinds of English translations, and they're adding them all the time. It is a wonderful app. It's got Bible reading programs on there. This is the one that I use. I read the Bible off of my phone. Now, if you don't have a smartphone, but you do have a computer, YouVersion has a, you can go online, and it will help you with that. You can read online, or you can get a Bible particular Bible translation. In fact, let me just tell you, I'm reading the New Living Translation this year. And so I went to Amazon and I typed in chronological Bible. And New Living Translation makes a chronological Bible. It's a hardback edition. You can get it for about $17. If you're interested in that, we can order that. We can get it shipping free. We're Prime members and we get shipping free. So if you're interested in something like that, but out in the Welcome Center, we have got a couple of Bible reading plans out there. One of them is the chronological. You can pick your own translation. Another one is, it's just a little bit different. It divides the Bible up different. You'll read a little in the law, the prophets, the epistles. Each day of the week has a different area of the Bible that you read in. If you'll follow it in a year's time, you'll read all the way through the Bible. So here's the challenge, church. Some of us are going to have to get off of our duffs, buttissimos, and make a decision that we're going to read the Bible through. Your relationship with God is important. And you, and just say, well, I love God. Well, if we love God, let's get in His Word. Let's ask the Holy Spirit every day to speak to us. Now, there's part of the Bible that's very difficult to read. You'll have to persevere through some of them old judgments over there. They're tough. But boy, when you get to the New Testament, is it ever refreshing? So we've got those out there. You can go out after the service and get you one of those. And so set in your heart, determine that next year you're going to read the Bible through. The best way to do that is to do it at the same time every day. I do it early in the morning. The first thing I do after my shower is I go in, get my little Keurig out, make me a cup of coffee. I sit down there with my smartphone and I read my Bible verses. And it usually takes you 10, 15 minutes. So I'm encouraging you to do that. I believe that if you'll do that, you'll start to grow as a Christian. It's not, you say, well, you're going to make us do that? No. It's good stewardship. It's about learning. And I could ask the question right now, and I doubt that everybody here has read the Bible through. In fact, I doubt very seriously if very many of us have been very consistent with Bible reading at all. Maybe when we have trouble. But I'll tell you, if you'll manage your moments in the Word, the Holy Spirit will bring Scripture to your memory, and when you have time of need, you'll be ahead of the game when this begins to work. Okay, here's the second thing I want to talk about in learning is the area of cultivating your brain. And I'm talking about reading other things. God has raised up so many wonderful authors who have written so many wonderful things in different subjects. Just like this book right here, Praying Circles Around Your Children by Mark Batterson. This is a good little tool that can inform you on how to pray for your family, how to pray for your children, how to pray for your grandchildren. These are just wonderful resources. And, you know, let me say this. Leaders are readers. Leaders are readers. Readers, I believe, will rise to the top. Now, you got to read the right kind of stuff. You can read a whole bunch of garbage. I mean, you know, you can get so caught up with reading novels and you know, just one kind of thing, or and it won't do you a whole lot of good. The kind of reading that I'm talking about is reading things that cause you to grow as a human being and as a Christian. If you work in a particular area, there are certain things that you can read that will help you grow in your profession. It's important that we do that. I have reading goals. I have a website that I joined called Shelfari, and I put all of my library on that deal, and it tracks what I read, and it tells me how many books I've read this year and how that compares to the goal that I've set. And so that helps me track that. I have a goal to read a book a week, 52 books a year. So far this year, I've read 58. I've exceeded my goal. But I was not a reader. I didn't like to read. But I have made myself become a reader. If I'm going to be a leader, I have to be a reader. I have to have information come in my mind. I have to train my mind. It needs to be disciplined in certain areas of my life. If we're going to grow in stewardship of the mind like God wants us to, we need to be readers. Now, you say, I don't like to read. Well, listen to books. Listen to audio books. Be putting something in your mind that's going to help you learn. I read different kinds of books. I read leadership books. I read church growth books. I've read the Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? How many of you never even heard of that? What is that? That's C.S. Lewis. We have some wonderful church fathers who have paved the way for us. And one of those, you know, one of those was C.S. Lewis. He was a great mind, and he wrote some great, great books. I'm reading some of those. I don't do this often. I don't read a lot of fiction, although Chronicles of Narnia is fiction, but it has a spiritual message to it. I just got through reading a book that is a love story, a novel. It's a love story. And it really touched my heart. You know, a part of your mind is your emotions. See, you're made up of your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And a lot of times, especially those that are very logical and thinking, and you know, you're processing stuff all the time. And a lot of times we don't grow emotionally. So I like to read some poetry. I love to read Isaac Watts, that he wrote the Psalms, and he set them to what do they call that? Iambic pentameter, you know, that. He set it to poetry. And I've read that stuff, and my heart just burned. Well, what is that? You're reading, you're growing your whole man. And we need to grow our whole man, our mental capacities, our spiritual capacities, our emotional capacities. So I'm reading now a book on marriage. I've got a book on work that I'm fixing to read. I want to do a series on, and we'll talk about that in a minute, about working and different areas of our life. So learning is important. I wonder how many of us, once we graduated, we thought, okay, that part of my life is over. No, your education taught you how to study. And we need to be studious all of our lives. But it takes discipline to do that. But I believe that that's a stewardship. And I believe that that's one of the things that God will ask us about. What did you do with that wonderful mind that I gave you? What did you do to develop it? And you say, well, you know, Lord, I watched Swamp People. I watch Swamp People, okay? I watch all of those crazy things. But I don't neglect my reading. And how many times? It's real easy when you get up in the morning, you turn the boob tube on. It's on all day. You watch the boob tube, and then you say a little prayer when you go to bed at night, maybe read one verse, and you think, oh, I've done my spiritual. No. That's not good stewardship. We need a plan. And I'm not asking you to read a book a week, but read more than you did last year. Maybe it's a book a month. Maybe Maybe it's just reading one book next year. Maybe you hadn't read anything. Read something. Read something that makes you grow as a Christian.
All right, the next area we want to talk about is our leisure time. How many of y'all know rest is important? Anybody? I haven't been getting enough rest lately. Kids have been waking up early and all kinds of fun stuff. And I can definitely tell when I haven't gotten enough sleep. But we need our rest time. You know, we're talking about the principle of the eights. And, you know, some people don't have to sleep 8 hours. Some people can sleep for 4 or 5 hours and be good. But me, I require the 8 hours. And if I don't get those 8 hours, the coffee has to make up the rest of it so I can stay awake. And so we need our rest time. And we even see this in creation. You know, when God created everything, you know, he took 6 days to create everything and he rested on the seventh day. Now, did God get tired and need to rest? No, he didn't get tired. But it's a principle he was setting in motion. We find this in Genesis 2. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all of their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work that he was doing, and on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work he, from creating that he did." I love reading Genesis because it repeats itself a lot, and it seems like in the creation story. But he's putting a principle out here for us that we need our rest. We need to take a day off. For some people, that's really hard to do, to just take a day off and do nothing. You know, it seems like usually on my day off, I work around the house, have to mow the yard, and have to do this and do this and do this. And there's no rest involved. And I heard one pastor say this. He said the way he does it, that he works 5 days, he works for himself one day, and then he rests one day. I thought, man, that's good. Because that way I can get stuff done around the house and rest, you know, the same week, which rarely happens. And so it's a spiritual thing that we need to rest. It's also a natural thing. You know, you ask any doctor or any nurse or anybody like that, and, you know, they'll tell you your body needs a break. You know, you can't just be going all of the time. You need a break. How many of you ever, your body has shut down because you've been working too hard and you got sick and your body made you lay there for a day? You know, hopefully, you know, we don't always have to take breaks that way. But, you know, it's a natural thing that our body needs a break. You know, we are not all powerful like God. You know, we have to sleep and take breaks. But see, it's not just a physical leisure that we need to take. There's lots of jobs out there that are very emotionally taxing. You know, any kind of social work, nursing, anytime you're helping people with whatever issue, it works on your emotions, and sometimes you just need an emotional rest. You know, there's times that you just need to get away from it all, just shut it all down, and go enjoy something. You know, get out of town, go fishing.
Yes, glory.
Or my favorite, go hiking. You know, go do something that you don't have to engage. You don't have to engage your brain. You don't have to engage your emotions. Just go and enjoy life. And I believe that is a very spiritual thing for us to enjoy. You know, take a break. You know, there's some jobs that are very mental. You know, it's all, you know, a lot of processing in your mind and a lot of mental work. You need to take a mental break sometime too. You know, you just need a break. We have to have our leisure time. If you don't have a hobby, get one. Find something that you enjoy that is mindless. You know, that you don't have to, that gets you out of your normal routine to where you don't have to exert emotional energy in. Take a vacation. Get out of town for a little while. You know, we need these kind of breaks in our lives because it's a time of refreshing. It's a time of renewing. So when you do come back to your regular routine, you know, you're more energized on it. And so we do need our leisure time.
Sometimes you need to get away from your spouse. Sometimes you need to get away from your kids. Sometimes you need to let your spouse get away from you.
Amen.
I mean, it's there are times solitude is very important. And it's very difficult. It's easier for me. I don't have children in my home. Well, I do some. Grandchildren. And it's very, very challenging to find a place that's peaceful when that's going on. But when you have children, it's important that that happens. Because when a lot of times, and it's called the Sabbath principle. When you get away like that, God, your mind gets quiet. You get your mind off of things. And you'll find out that that's when God talks to you. That's where you find direction. Like when you went camping that time.
Yes. Yeah, I guess it was a couple years ago. I just went camping by myself, and which I was kind of scared to do because I'd never done that before. I went away for like 2 or 3 days and just by myself, you know, and I thought, what am I going to do? There's nobody, you know. I mean, there are people around. We were in a campsite. But, you know, it was interesting because I found myself that, you know, I didn't have to worry about anybody else. I just whatever I was doing, that's the only thing I had to be concerned about. And it's amazing how my mind went to God, you know, and thinking about, you know, God and spending time in His Word and praying. And I was reading and I was able to do some things and just kind of reset. And it was just such a refreshing time just to be able to, you know, just get focus on me a little bit and have that rest time. Next thing we're going to talk about is our labor. Our labor.
Got to work. How many of you know you got to work? There's another principle. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. How many of you like to eat? If you like to eat, you better work. Okay? There's one thing that, and I want to do a series on this coming up. Connecting your work to God's work. See, one of the things that we do, and I want you to think about this for a minute. We so compartmentalize our lives. This is my married life. This is my family life. This is my spiritual life. This is my work life. This is my spiritual life. This is my secular life. God does not see our lives that way. He sees the whole. We compartmentalize. And if we're not careful when we compartmentalize, we keep God out of certain parts of our lives. You have a stewardship of your whole life. And it's, you know, it's very easy for me to say work for God because that's what I do. I mean, I don't work for you. I work for God. But so do you. And if there's one thing that we need to change in our thinking is this, these little rooms in our life, that this is my private life, this is my spiritual life, this is my work life. No, no, no. It's all one. And so when it comes to our labor, if we would begin to change our thinking about this, you would be surprised at what God would be able to do through your life, your work life. See, what we need to learn how to do is connect our work to God's work. And I'm not talking about you becoming a preacher and you witnessing to everybody. Although those doors open, and we need to walk through those doors when they open. But I'm talking about the way that we conduct ourselves in our work. Who do you work for? You don't work for White River Medical Center. You don't work for whoever it is that you work for. You don't even work for yourself. You work for God as a believer. If we understand this thing that we're talking about in managing our time is managing our work because it all belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. And if we will get the mindset, if we'll renew our mind to think this way, I may be a nurse. I may be a school teacher. I may work on computers. I may work in a bank. I may work for the highway department. I may work for myself. No, but we're working for God. We need to connect our work and His work to His work. That's what it's all about. And even if, you know, if your job is picking up trash, and that's, praise God for those who pick up my trash every week. I don't look down on those people. Praise God for them. Can you connect that to working for God? Yeah. Because it's about providing a service to people. Who's God about? He's about people. He's about meeting the needs of people. Well, every one of us are gifted uniquely. Some of you have gone to school to be trained to do certain things. And you're providing a service. You know, don't work for money. Work for God. And if you'll begin to see it that way and you begin to do it that way, let me tell you something that'll happen. You will become very valuable to your employer. You will become very valuable to your company. Because your work ethic will change when you realize that you're working for God. You're connecting your work to His work. See, I don't just come here and work. When I'm at McDonald's, I don't see any difference in who I am and what I do. I try to be the same person there that I am here. My life is working for Him. My life is about Him. But so is yours. And here's what I believe that'll happen if you'll do that. Your employer, you will be a blessing to your employer. And when you become a blessing to your employer, you will become invaluable to him. And I believe that many will see promotion. Many will see increase. And we're not doing it for that reason. We're doing it as unto the Lord. And when we do it as unto the Lord, He is able to add so much blessing to that, and you will become such a blessing to everybody that you touch. You will not see them as a sale. You will not see them as a client or a patient or whatever. You will see them as an opportunity to show Christ's love through your talent and your ability as a human being. Mine is communication. Maybe yours is nursing. Maybe yours is selling vehicles or fixing computers or whatever it is that you do. If you do that as unto the Lord, as a school teacher, school teachers have a wonderful opportunity to help plant seed and shape the minds of our young people. They can be guardians a lot of times and really can really be a blessing in our society. I think about football coaches. Football coaches are great influencers, one way or the other. And when you find a football coach that cares about kids and speaks into the lives of kids, because those kids will listen to their football coach because they respect him, you can connect your work to the work of God. And it will not look like me standing up here preaching. It'll be you demonstrating the love of God through your ability, your talent, and your calling. But it all has. So we need to think of it like that. That our profession, our labor is connected to God's work.
And I read a quote this week that I thought was really good. You know, talking about labor, it says, "Time is the coin of your life. It's the only coin that you have, and only you determine how it will be spent. Be careful, lest you let other people spend it for you." And, you know, getting ready for this one, it was very hard on me because time is one of the places that I struggle personally in trying to manage my time and everything. And so this has been one of the challenging, toe-stomping ones for me. And just one of the things that God said to me is like, you know, when we're working, it seems like we tend to focus on the things that are urgent instead of the things that are important. And there is a difference, because there's things that are urgent in our lives, but they're not necessarily important. And lots of times the things that are important to us aren't necessarily urgent. And so lots of times we will spend time on the urgent stuff and forget about what we're actually there for. Because we all know what is the important thing in our job. You know, we know what it is we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be accomplishing. And so many times we let other things that maybe someone comes in with an issue or a problem that is urgent, you know, and they want you to fix it now. You know, they want to talk about it right now. And so you do the urgent and you put aside the important. And so we have to be careful that when we manage our time, we focus on the important. We focus on the task that is hand that needs to be done instead of everything else that comes up. Because it's so easy for other people to dictate to you what your time's going to be. And one thing that I'm learning and I'm trying to learn, and my wife reminds me of constantly, is that you know, when you have time, you set aside time to talk to somebody or to do something. When that overlaps, you're taking time away from something else or somebody else. And for me, it's so easy to get on a task and I'm doing something and think, man, I'm almost done. I just need to finish this thing. And I'm forgetting, I'm taking time away from my wife and my kids when I stay late. And what's more important to me, my wife and my kids or this project? Now, of course, my wife and my kids are more important.
Right.
And so I allow the urgent to overtake the important. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. It all comes back to our priority in our time. Are we dictating what our time's going to do, or are we letting time to dictate us? And so we have to be very careful. See, I have to live by the list. I'm a list person. I have to have the to-do list. If I don't sit down at the beginning of the day and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today, and write them down, literally write them down for myself, I don't accomplish much that day. You know, if I sit there, okay, I need to work on the website today and I need to do this today, more likely it's not going to get done because I will focus on the urgent things that come up. All the other little things that pop up during the day, I'll focus on those. See, I love to mark stuff off the list. Anybody, list people, you love to mark stuff off the list. It's like a small celebration. You're like, yes, I'm done with that. Go on to the next thing. I don't do the dance.
But oh.
I probably do.
And waka, waka, waka.
And so, you know, I'm the list person. And we have to focus on the important. And, you know, sometimes the urgent is important also, but we need to stay focused on what we're doing. If we're going to be stewards of our time, if we're going to prioritize, we need to let those priorities dictate our time and what we spend our time doing. Because if God is truly a priority in my life, I'm going to spend time on that. In fact, that should be the number one thing that I spend my time on. I got to make sure that that happens. Unfortunately, when life gets busy, usually that's the first thing that goes out of my life is my time with God. Well, God will understand. I'm busy today. You know, if I skip a day of reading or if I don't pray today or whatever, God will understand. Well, is that truly number one in my life? Am I truly prioritizing God in my life if that's the first thing to go? And so we have to be careful. You know, our priorities should dictate our time. If my wife is a priority, I'm going to spend time. If my kids are a priority, I'm going to spend time. If Facebook is my priority, I'm going to spend time. If we look at our time, where are our priorities at? What is it that is important? Are we worried about the urgent message on Facebook that we need to respond to? Or are we going to spend time with our kids? And that's kind of what it comes down to. And that kind of, you know, what the whole series has been about is that if we are going to live life on purpose, if we're going to protect our hearts above all else, we have to be very purposeful in how we live. We have to be very purposeful in how we spend our time. We have to be good stewards of our life. Because, you know, once we get saved, you know, we're going to heaven, we belong to God. Satan can't do anything about that. But what he likes to do to Christians is he likes to distract. He likes to get you off task so you will not be effective for God, so that you will not accomplish what God has called you to do. And so that's what he spends his time doing, is distracting us from what's important. We've got to build guardrails in our lives to keep us focused and going in the right direction and protecting those things that are most important to us. If we manage our minutes, we won't miss our moments that God has placed in our life. And we have to be purposeful. I think that's kind of the key phrase, that we just have to be purposeful. Live a life of purpose. Don't let just life happen, but live it on purpose. You dictate what your life is going to be under God's supervision.